arthritis. It's very likely that along a long enough timeline, you are going to get it. It's a natural result of aging as the soft tissues that cushion your bones begin to wear down. But for almost a quarter of Americans, the pain of arthritis is an ever-present reality. And it's not just a disease for those who've spent a great deal of time on Earth. Young people, teenagers, and even toddlers can get arthritis, too. I'm Matthew Law Middleton, and on today's Central Standard, we're going to be exploring the aches and pains of arthritis, the risk factors, the treatments, and the hopes for future remedies. We'll be getting to that in just a few minutes, but first we're going to take a moment to look at the salt shortage here and across the country. A great deal of the salt in our region comes from Kansas, and KCUR's Frank Morris joins us in studio to help us understand the vexing salt shortage. Good morning, Frank.
Morning, Matthew.
So I've seen reports that there's a salt shortage, not just regionally, but even as far away as New York City. How dire is this situation currently?
Well, I don't know if dire is the right way to put it. I mean, there are, you know, salt really helps road conditions and people. And there are studies that show that you're like 85% more likely to get in a car crash if the roads haven't been salted. So it is a serious situation, and it is pretty much east of the Rockies, I think. And most of the salt comes from east of the Rockies, too. Most of the salt mines, there are 12 of them around the country, huge mines in upstate New York and southern Canada. But the distribution channels are, some of them are blocked because of frozen waterways. And also, this is an industry that just can't scale up to meet crazy demand caused by not only a lot of snow, but a lot of snowstorms. Each one take a treatment. Even if you get 4 inches of snow, you still have to treat it. And then the cold weather, too, makes the salt less effective, so you have to use more of it. So that has caused shortages around the country.
You mentioned problems of supply, demand a little bit, but you also mentioned frozen waterways. How much of this is also logistics and transportation issues?
I don't know how to characterize
quantify
that.
It.
Yeah, right. But it's different in different places. You know, here it's mainly in this area, to the extent that there are salt shortages, it's mainly just a matter of getting the salt out of the ground and getting it on a truck and not having it be committed elsewhere. But in Chicago, where the Illinois River is frozen, like parts of Lake Michigan are frozen, then they've got serious problems because they take a lot of salt from like the Gulf. And they have to ship it up to St. Louis, say, take it off the barge, put it on a truck, drive it in. And sometimes the roads are closed because
there's no salt.
Right. Right. Yeah.
So where does most of our salt come from here in Kansas City?
South Central Kansas. There are three mines down there for rock salt, which we're talking about here, road salt. There are three mines down there, and they produce most of the salt here.
And you went down to Hutchinson, Kansas, correct? That's where one of the mines are?
That's right, yep.
Mm-hmm. And so what did you find there? An operation that's just constantly going?
Yeah, 24/7 down there. And it's cool. You know, this is a 90-year-old mine down in Hutchinson. And there are a couple of other mines, again, in that area, salt mines. But they're running 24/7. They don't have big staffs. They just got guys down there with really heavy equipment trying to get the salt out of the ground as fast as possible.
Mm-hmm. And so you went down to the mine last week and you came back with some reporting. Let's take a moment to journey down with you and meet some of the people of the Hutchinson Salt Mine.
We've just gone dropped 650 feet vertical. We're at the base of the salt seam.
John Kincaid supervises the Hutchinson Salt Mine. Miners down here with headlamps cutting beams through the white dust go after walls of rock salt with explosives, drills, and enormous grinders. These men and machines can claw out about 3,000 tons a day. But this winter, even that's not enough.
We have been working 24/7 for several months now.
Harold Mayo, the manager at Hutchinson Salt, says this winter's relentless snowstorms have depleted stockpiles and pushed the salt industry to its limit.
We're getting calls from people who just found us on the internet, just hoping that we have salt. And right now we tell them no. You know, regardless of price, we just don't have it.
Every chunk of salt coming off the conveyor belt here is committed and shipped not long after it sees the surface.
We can't meet demand. The winter has hit everybody hard.
Where does this salt end up? Most of it ends up here in Kansas City, or where is it going right now?
You know, they ship from Hutchinson. They ship to Chicago by rail. They also have a bunch of rail cars there waiting. Chicago's a great customer for them, especially this year with the Chicago's normal supply lines blocked. They ship it to Nebraska and around. But, yeah, there's this line of trucks waiting. And there's truck drivers asleep at the wheel, you know, slumped over, just wait, because they're loading it very slowly, I think, to kind of make do at the mine. And I spoke to one guy who said he logged 10,000 miles driving a truck between Hutchinson and Kansas City over and over again for taking loads of salt up here. So 10,000 miles just last month.
That incredible numbers. Also, that you said in the piece that, you know, roughly 3,000 tons a day. But this actually isn't one of the largest salt mines that there is in terms of supply.
Yeah, it's like a 16th the size of the big mines in southern Canada. Those are where the monster mines are in North America. But it still is a significant amount of salt. And again, there are three of them down in south central Kansas, so they produce quite a bit of salt.
And were you able to figure out how much the salt is selling for a ton and like how that compares to when the supply is actually meeting demand?
It's all over the place. Of course, in the city of Hutchinson, which is where the salt mine is, they just drive 4 miles over to the salt mine and pick up salt for $26 a ton. And in Chicago, they're paying upwards of $250 a ton because of you know, delivered salt. So it really varies a lot. A lot of salt is sold on contract, but those contracts aren't being fulfilled because the industry is so short, and mines, you know, suppliers like Hutchinson are divvying it out based on who their best customers are. So, you know, again, if you're in a small suburb of Chicago and you just need the salt really badly, you might be paying, you know, again, upwards of $250 a ton. Well, you know, I guess 10 times as much as they pay in Hutchinson.
But there were some communities, even in Kansas, so close to the salt that you reported that couldn't get the salt anyway, even though they were so close, even though it would be cheaper.
Wichita started out with a full, full storage capacity of salt and sand. They mix it together 50-50. Started the winter that way. They realized they weren't going to make it through the winter. They put in an order in early December to the Hutchinson Salt Mine. And guess what? Nothing happened. Nothing happened. Nothing happened. Nothing happened. Until finally they had this big snowstorm. They were, you know, everybody's mad at the city because they can't treat the streets with salt. And so they worked out an emergency deal with the mine in Hutchinson to send their own trucks, 5 a day, no more than 5 a day, and for a limited period of time, you send the trucks to Hutch and get them, you know, filled with salt and start getting their order made. But they had, you know, they had ordered 3,000 tons of salt, and they hadn't gotten any of it before this storm.
But it probably comes down to a business decision, which is like 3,000 tons sounds like a lot to you and me, but when you're other customers, Kansas City, who's probably ordering much, much larger scale.
Right. Oh, yeah. It multiplies much, much more. And then Chicago, too. I mean, so they're going to take care of their Chicago customers, Kansas City, and, you know, Wichita. And Wichita is scrambling. You know, they're talking to these other salt mines. They're doing the same thing that everybody else is who's out of salt. They're making phone calls. They're looking on the internet. And, Wichita's got a relatively low bar from what they're willing to pay for salt. They're used to cheap salt, too.
And been hearing reports that Kansas City is selling its salt because we're the fat cats on top of the hill right now with this little bit of a surplus.
Well, yeah, right. And I don't know how much of a surplus there is, but, the Sly James, the mayor, was on Up to Date last week saying that, they've got a surplus. They're selling not only to other cities but to the state of Missouri and helping to cover their storm removal bill here. And he didn't say how much they're charging. So, I mean, it'd be interesting to see if they're, you know, doubling their money on that salt that's going out the door.
And why don't people just stockpile the salt in the summer,
right,
when prices are low, when you don't have people sleep, you know, waiting to pick up the salt?
Right. Because, you know, there's not a salt shortage. There is, you know, thousands of years of salt under there, you know, huge seams of salt. It's 300 feet thick in Hutchinson, but the seam stretches from Kansas City to the Texas Panhandle. Basically, you just can't store the stuff that easily. It's you have to store it in a sort of federally approved storage dome because of runoff's an issue. And even if you did have enough capacity for, say, you know, two winters just in case, the salt, if you don't use it, it goes bad, or not bad, it solidifies and gets hard to use, chunks up, makes it hard.
All the moisture in the air, it absorbs that.
Right.
And it like crystallizes, is what you're saying?
Well, yeah, they say it cakes. And so it cakes up, it turns into big chunks, and then you have to break it up again. And private sector, you know, like the salt mines, they don't like to have a lot of salt on hand either, because it's just money tied up. This is a very low margin business. It doesn't, you know, there's not a lot of give here. That's why they can't scale up and just start producing a whole bunch more. There's just not that much money in it. Mm-hmm. And so they don't want to have big storage, you know, piles of salt, even if they could, without, you know, figure out a way to store it without it, you know, causing problems. They don't want their money tied up that way.
You mentioned municipalities have to keep the salt covered to prevent runoff. It seems kind of counterintuitive to me. We throw it all over the roads and it melts and it becomes runoff. Environmental impact of salt?
You know, Matthew, that's a great question. I don't really know the answer to it. I think that basically it's a concentration. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. But there are other alternatives to salt that some municipalities are looking at.
Beet juice has been around for a while. Very, very effective. It's just expensive. Mm-hmm. And you know, calcium chloride, again, hugely effective. It works at much lower temperatures, like beet juice, than salt. It just costs more. Mm-hmm. You know, it's just not as plentiful. So, I mean, there are – and I don't know about this. I didn't look into it. I'm guessing that beet juice is probably pretty scarce right now too. Mm-hmm. You know, so
– it's not exactly growing season right now through most of the U.S.
Right. Mm-hmm. I mean, you know, and I don't know how – I have any idea how the beet – you know, the sugar beet industry works and how much of that – you know, where they get the juice, if they're growing juice beets. I don't know anything about that. But
more reporting for later this winter,
right,
I suppose.
Right.
Well, that's all the time we have for this segment. Frank Morris, he's KCUR's national correspondent and senior editor. Thank you so much, Frank,
for joining us.
We're going to be talking about arthritis in just a few moments. Stay with us.